did he start? The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom, according to this passage, is at hand. And then he said, repent and believe the gospel. Isn't that amazing? John's baptism was unto repentance, wasn't it? What did Jesus come preaching? The kingdom of God and what? Repentance. You remember in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Luke 13, 3, Jesus said these words, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Isn't that amazing? How many sermons do you hear today in churches about people needing to repent? Huh? I guarantee you there are churches out there you'll never hear a sermon on repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is bought and occurs within the heart of somebody who has experienced such a godly sorrow that Jesus had to go to a cross and die on their behalf and become crushed by God. And he laid on him your iniquities, my iniquity. And we see it and we recognize Jesus died for me. He died for my sins. And I'm going to stop nailing him to that cross. And I turn from my evil, my sins, and I turn to God, and I seek Him to help me to overcome the sins that are in my life. I repent. My will becomes His will. I want to glorify Him, and I do not want to any longer willfully sacrifice Jesus Christ over and over and over again. Repent. Isn't that amazing? Shouldn't surprise us then on the day of Pentecost when those people heard the message, they were pricked in their heart. They cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? What was the first word out of Peter's mouth? What was it? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sin and for the gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't surprise me at all. Those were the words that came out of the apostle Peter's mouth on the day of Pentecost. What was it? Repent. Oh, but don't forget, Peter, who preached that message, also says in one of his letters, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May I suggest to you, repentance is an ongoing Greek word that you are continuing the process of turning to God. You never stop walking towards God. You should be continuously seeking Him. You should be continually desiring Him. You should continually want to do His will. You should be continuously listening to His word and bringing your heart and your will into harmony with it. It is an ongoing process, isn't it? Isn't it? You never stop seeking God. Never. The aspect of that is unbelievable. Because as Jesus again said, and the aspects of that, it just blows my mind. And the aspect is that, and I know I was lost. Anybody here know that you weren't lost without Him? You say, well, I'm not a bad person. You've sinned. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. There has been aspects of your being that is not God-like. We were made in the image of God. The word sin means to miss the mark. That means somewhere in your life and your growth and your process as a human being, you have not been godly. You have not completed be like God. So that not to question the point, let's ask this question. I know Jesus wasn't baptized to have his sins washed away because he never sinned, right? Huh? But he did get baptized to fulfill all righteousness, right? If you were here when I preached the sermon, you see, righteousness is imputed by our obedience. When we obey God, God looks upon us then as being righteous. That makes sense. So for him to be completely righteous, he needed to obey God. How about you? I'm telling you, the world filled with people who said baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. It certainly has something to do with our righteousness. If Jesus could not be declared righteous without being it, how can you or me? Isn't it interesting? When did he receive the Holy Spirit? When did he receive it? After he was baptized, right? Isn't that interesting? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the authority of Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now what he said. Paul meets 12 disciples of John the Baptist. He says to them, look at that, Acts chapter 19. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, what? We haven't even heard that he's been given. Next question. Then why were you baptized? Well, must be Paul assumed the fact that if they had been scripturally baptized, they would have known and would have received the Holy Spirit. Amen? Isn't that clear? And so what did he do? He commanded them in Jesus' name to be baptized. Amen? Then they were, what? Recipients of the Holy Spirit. How much clearer can it be? And what happened then? God said, this is my beloved Son. Do you know that until you have received the Holy Spirit into your life, you are not declared adopted into the family of God? Do you know that? It's the Spirit of God that is in you that testifies to your spirit that you now are a child of God. Romans chapter 8. Got it? Is that clear? Isn't that amazing? God made it pretty simple, you know what? Did you hear me? God made his plan of redemption so simple, even a warfaring fool could understand it. But Satan doesn't want people to understand it. So what has he done? He's attacked the very element that is such significant. Because I don't believe water washes away us. I've never preached water regeneration. I believe it is the blood of Jesus that a person meets in baptism that washes away our sin. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit that quickens one who is dead in sin and raises them to new life in Christ. And they become a walking new life. They become a new creature in Christ. That's what my Bible teaches. What is yours? I don't believe it's going to pass away whether man teaches it or not. But I guarantee you, you're going to hear it here. Why? Because that's what the book says. We can't preach anything but what is said here. You understand that? I'm to preach the word. Okay? And in reference to that, I think it's very significant. In Luke 2:48-49. Luke 2, what does Luke say? Remember that they were going back to homeland and they also begin, I got to slow down. I'm getting too fast. My brain is ahead of my mouth. That's what my wife says. You talk fast. You think faster than your mouth speaks. So slow down. Slow down. Okay, let's slow down. Oh, well, that was Joseph and Mary. They slowed down. Where is he? I mean, here they are with a group of people. Because back then you didn't walk alone because of thieves. And they can't find Jesus, right? So what do? They go back to Jerusalem. And where is he? He was in a temple. And he's amazing, the scholars and the scribes, and they can't get over how he's answering all these questions that they are asking him. And the aspect, of course, in Luke 2:29, out of his mouth comes these words to his mom and dad, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be about my father's business? How old was he? 12 years old. He already knew who he was. And what his business was. He also knew what his father's business was. What was his father's business for him? Well, in Luke 4:17, Jesus tells us. Jesus is reading from the book of Isaiah. He was allowed to be the reader. And so he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said these words. Quoting Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Why had he come? What was God's business for him? Preach the gospel. What was God's business for him? To take and set people free, to release them from the captivity of their sin, to set them free from those who are depressed and oppressed by the cares of the world, and to proclaim the favorable day of the Lord. Wow. Verse 21 states, at the same chapter, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Wow.
Verse 43 of the same chapter, chapter 4, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for I was sent for this purpose. Luke 22:42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know exactly what his purpose was, right? God sent him into this world to do what? To die for your sins. Jesus went there, seeking God's will, praying that the cup would be removed from him, right? If there's any other way, Lord. But then he said these magnificent, powerful words. Not my will, but yours be done. Think about those things for a moment. Jesus came, had a purpose. He was born to die. You know that? You know that? He died for you. Whether you acknowledge that or not doesn't matter. Because the day of the favorable year of the Lord, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. God has appointed a day when Jesus will exalt and glorify him to its fullness. He exalted him and glorified him in his life. God now has glorified the Son by exalting him, giving him a name above every name. That name is Jesus. And every tongue and every knee is going to bow and confess someday, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Okay? So what is the Father's business for the church today? Are we not to be preaching the gospel too? Good news, right? Are we not to be seeking to help people to be set free from the captivity of sin? And to release those who are oppressed by the cares and the burdens of the world? Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. My peace. Doesn't people need that peace? Don't they need the peace that passes all understanding, that comes directly from God? We have the message. It's here. Good news from God. That God came and Jesus and gave his life that people could have life. And I cannot forget those powerful words. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it how? Man, don't you love life? I love getting up every day. I'm serious. Just ask Marilyn. I get up every day because I got a God who's worthy of my praising him and glorifying him. Every day I know I'm going to experience the faithfulness of my Father, and I'm going to go to bed that night and thank him for his loving kindness, just like the psalmist said. Thank him. Thank him in the morning. Thank him in the evening. What is God's will is that we be thankful. Lastly, John 1:38. The disciples are there, and they're looking for him. And Jesus asked his disciples, he says, well, he didn't say who. He said, what do you seek? And their response was, Rabbi, meaning what? Teacher. We're seeking you. We're seeking the teacher. We're seeking that one. And so in Luke chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said that he came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. In John 5:30, he said, I can do nothing of my own initiative. He said that again before it, hasn't he? He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Can you and me, can we humbly say today, not my will, but yours be done? Can we humbly say that I'm not seeking to do my will, I want to do God's will to the best of my ability? I want to honor him. I want to glorify him. I want to do your will, Father. May that be the motivating power that behind me as a part of his family, that I'm here to glorify God and to do his will. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what's the question? What seek you? Are you seeking the kingdom God and its righteousness. Knowing that God promises to take care of all the other things of the world. What are you seeking? Because a lot of people have lost the faith according to Jesus' parable of the seed and falling upon different types of ground. And that third parable, that third soil, is where the seed is planted. It begins to grow. It takes root. And then the cares of the world and the worries of the world, like weeds, begin to grow up amongst it. I've seen that more than anything else in Christians' lives, where they turn to the things of the world. And what does it do? It chokes it out. And it dies. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What do you think the world's going to provide for you? People who put your hands to the plow and look back at what the world can offer to them aren't worthy of the kingdom of God. You know what he said? People, we are kingdom people. You understand that? God has made us to be a kingdom. God has made us to be a priest. God has made us to be a royal priesthood. God has made us to be kings and ruling with him today. We're sitting on the right hand of God right now in the body of Christ, and we're ruling and reigning with him. Don't sell your salvation and your soul for a mess of pottage at the world offers, because it'll leave you only more hungrier and hungrier for what the world has to offer. I hunger and thirst for righteousness, because that is what satisfies. Amen? What are you seeking? Jesus asked. Jesus recorded those first words. And the first words relate to his baptism, right? The aspects of that. And then you go to Mark. And what do you find in Mark? You find him the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And then you go to Luke. And what do you find Luke saying? He's finding that his purpose is there, is to seek the lost and to cultivate and to amass God's will in his life. And to evaluate. And to evaluate today is, for me, Bill Horton, simply to say to you, Bill, what in the world are you seeking? What are you seeking? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, but they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. As I said before, I'm not done seeking God. Neither are you. Amen? And think about it. You got to believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of those who seek him. So why wouldn't you want to seek him? Because he'll reward you for doing so. Amen? He'll reward you for doing so. And then it also says in Colossians 3:2, if ye have been risen with Christ, what does it say? Set your mind on those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and do not seek those things which you can see. The aspect of that is unbelievable. My question again is, what are we seeking? Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking and draw from my well that never runs dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up. Till I want no more. The only thing I know that can satisfy us is Jesus Christ. Only Christ can satisfy. Anything else just leaves you wanting more. Amen. Thirsting, hungering for whatever. But praise God today, we have one who loved us enough that he was willing to give his life so that my need, mentally, physically, spiritually, every aspect of my being, God has taken care of it. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? What are you doing with your life? You're seeking something. Amen? If If you need the Lord today, I'm telling you, there's nobody can satisfy you like Jesus can. He said, and He came to quench the thirst and the hunger of our souls. His concern is for you spiritually, not your physical body. Oh, He'll provide that. But Jesus didn't die for that purpose. He died so that you spiritually could have life and have it eternally. That's why He died. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to fulfill all righteousness by obeying that command of being baptized, it's a simple thing. It's not something out of the way. There's no commandment of God as grievous. Every command of God is accompanied with an unbelievable promise, magnificent, precious promises that He gives if you obey. Amen? What is the promise? Your sins will be washed away. And you will receive the indwelling power gift of God Himself. And your body will become the temple of the living God. And He will live in you, and you will live in Him. Amen. If you want that, it's right here. Because the invitation isn't Bill Horton's. It's not the Church of Christ. It's an invitation. Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Yeah, Revelation closes by saying, the bride, the church says, come. The Spirit says, come. Jesus says, come. If you thirst, come. As we stand and we sing this invitation hymn, that is indeed an invitation for you to come.